we go into a very unique place in this beautiful teaching of the Tao. Make the small big and the few many, says Lhotse. Return animosity with virtue. Meet the difficult while it is easy. Meet the big while it is small. These words can be very confusing to the average person who has put themselves in the posture of never being able to think beyond their thoughts. A person who does not have the ability to think beyond their thoughts, which isn't the average way of going about things. The person who is looking at things from the idea of logic and reasoning will miss this entirely. It will make no sense at all. But what Lhotse gives you and me, well, this is an amazing thing. It is absolutely beautiful. When consciousness is allowed to arise in us, when we have an increased sensitivity, awareness, we realize that the small things that seem absolutely unimportant to us in our daily living, we begin to understand what they really are. Some are useless and unnecessary, and some are very important. We don't live in moderation. Moderation, according to Lhotse, is the means for prevention. When we get a glimpse and listen to those still small whispers and voice within us, we become aware of things at that very moment. And we begin to realize that there are some things that are a waste of time because my mind has purported that. My mind has made that up, made an illusion of it. And then there are those small things that look completely insignificant, that are deeply insignificant. If you can become aware, you will soon see that those small things have the capacity for consequence in our life. And if we are aware of those consequences, then we can avoid utter disaster in our life. But this is very important. This meeting the big while it is small, well, it is a huge responsibility that all of us have to deal with. We all have to deal with it in living in one problem after another, living in animosity. And that animosity, that hostility that we live in subtly, has a great effect upon our daily life. And it's true with everything, with our personal life, with our city life, with our country, with the whole world. We make problems that don't need to exist, and then the real problems we don't discover, and we find it very difficult to deal with them. We live in the constant of misconception. We don't understand because we have no sense of consciousness. And nor are we interested in it because, well, let's face it, logic and reasoning always wins, as does in this world, evil. And when you can put the two together and understand, well, then you have something very, very special. Let me give you it's a long story, but it's well worth hearing. It is about this man who was a king, who just before his death became a multimillionaire billionaire. He was aware, though, that he had never, ever experienced any sense of bliss. He was very fortunate in the world. And this is an interesting thing because some people, just before their death, become aware of what they've done, that they've given nothing to the world, that they have failed in this lifetime. He became aware before his death that he had not experienced bliss. And this troubled him deeply. Death was close by. He went to astrologers. There were not many days left, they said, so you must be quick. You have to hurry. He said, I will hurry to find my life, but where is bliss? I must have this bliss before I die. And now I have the means to buy it. And I'm ready to buy it at any cost. The astrologer said, well, we don't know what the cost is. And if you come to know it, this bliss, it could make your death meaningful, significant. The king said, where should I look for it? They said, we don't know. You just have to go and look everywhere for it. So he climbed his fastest horse. He put diamonds and jewels, rupees, all over the horse, and started shouting in the village, if somebody gives me a glimpse of bliss, then I will be ready to give him all of this. It was a fortune. They reached the village, and there they said, there is somebody who can give you a glimpse of bliss. He is a Sufi, and Sufis are crazy. They are. I've met them. I've worked with them. I understand. The people of the village said, we have come to the right place. It is in this village that this man, this Sufi, lives. He solves problems, but in a most absurd manner. So you have to understand absurdity is his way. He does not make much sense to most of us, but still, he can help you. The people of that village grew to love this Sufi. We have learned many wonderful things. So the king was thrilled. He went to that village. He found him. The man that he had been searching for was just sitting there under a tree. The sun was setting. The villagers said, this is the man. This is the man. The king threw down his bag of gold, of diamonds, of jewels, worth millions and millions of dollars. I'm ready to give all of this. My wealth, I can see, is valueless. I want a glimpse of bliss before I die. The Sufi looked at him from top to bottom. He said, you want a glimpse? You want a true glimpse? The king said, yes, a true glimpse. That's all I ask for. When the Sufi nodded his head in yes, he grabbed the bag of jewels and ran away. For a moment, that rich man stood there dumbfounded. This king had been duped. He started crying, I am ruined, I am ruined, I am dead. But until then, the Sufi was far away and there was no way to find him. The villagers said, we told you he can answer any absurd question that you might have, but you have to understand he is himself absurd. The man said, let's catch him. So they ran and ran and ran, and finally they found the Sufi. He was eluding them by running through alleys and all sorts of manipulations. The whole village woke up. He eluded everybody. And when they found him, he was just sitting under a tree where it had all begun. And the rich man, huffing and puffing, perspiring, reached there and he saw the bag. He picked it up. He hugged it. He said, "Oh, thank you, God." And the Sufi looked at him and said, "Well, did you get a glimpse?" The rich man said, "Well, there was a moment where I was relieved. But it was just a fleeting moment." The Sufi said, "Well, you got your answer. Now get on your horse and go." You see, it's an interesting phenomenon. Until we lose something that we thought was so valuable, that we worked all of our life to attain, whether it be wealth or affections or whatever, we suddenly begin to realize we weren't on the path at all. And when we lose it and we have to search for it, we think we will be accepting it and feeling good about it when we find it again. But the cycle begins again and again and again. Futility goes on and on and on. So here is the teaching, and you're not going to like it. You're going to have to lose what it is that you think you've gained in this world. I'm not talking about your money. I'm not talking about your possessions. I'm talking about that part of you that thought, "This would make me happy." Whatever it is that you think will make you happy, won't. Happiness is a quality of consciousness. It is not something that is derived from the physical world. Lhotse is telling us, hey, take a look here. Why create more mischief for yourself? Treating small issues as if they were big. Learning to take things consciously. Learning how to consider what is beyond your doing. Learning to understand what seems so insignificant is very significant. The danger of all of this lies in our ignorance and our indifference. We just don't understand the manner of the way. We take small things that really don't really matter at all because they're conjured up in my mind, and we make them big ones. And then the truly big ones are concealed under the ones that we thought were insignificant or we thought were important or whatever we thought, and we never realize the real meaning of our life. Return animosity with virtue. This is the key. Meet the difficult while it is easy. Meet the big while it is small. Don't let things get out of hand. Start to become aware. If you find moderation in your life, moderation when it comes to gratifications, you won't, as I call it, sandpaper yourself to death. You see, we sandpaper our life, our inner world, our inner life with all of the gratifications we can have through the body. When we don't make the body the pinnacle of our life, we come to a place where our life is the pinnacle of our life, of our own existence. This is very difficult for most people because they want to accomplish greatness. We live in a difficult world, and most people meet it with animosity, with distrust. Lhotse is saying, return animosity with virtue. But you see, if you have no virtue, and virtue comes from the soul, from the heart, it gives you a perception that most people don't have. You start to see what's really valuable. Not what you think will make you happy, but something that is really valuable. If you can put aside your animosity, you will have a sense of consciousness. And you will meet the difficult before it becomes too big. Do the difficult, Lhotse said, before it becomes impossible. Meet the big while it is small. To see the consequence of something in your own life. Now, I need to say this to you, and you need to have a sense of virtue. There are some people who can take something that looks good in the world and turn it into their enemy, their obsession, their compulsion. They place their whole value in this world on something. Could be people, career, money, fame, fortune. And the people that do this cannot live in this one beautiful insight. Would you not give me that which I need more than you? Would you deny me that which I need more than you think you need? This can come in understanding. This can come in awareness. This can come in kindness. This is your virtue. Would you give me that which you deem more important to you than is important to me? Can you not see the bigger picture? Can you not see the consequence of living as such? This is a huge insight. Most people will never get it. But it is my and your saving grace. Don't be like the king who only appreciated what he had by losing it. But I'm telling you, sometimes we lose things for the sake of our own awakening. And it helps us understand moderation, kindness. It helps us understand the meaning and the significance of a lifetime that is greater than the one we are living currently. This is what Lhotse meant by emptiness. When we are no longer living in the animosity of the world, but choose to meet this animosity of worldly problems with the virtue of kindness, we meet the difficult while it is easy. We understand the consequence while it is still something that you understand could happen but did not happen. You make the beautiful beautiful. These are the things that Lhotse is talking about. And again, most of us simply do not understand it. Again, at the end of this discourse, I would be honored to meditate with you. from the Tao. Realize ultimate emptiness. Achieve inner peace. Be steady in your stillness. For it is in your stillness that you find your strength.